Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, bonjour. In Spain, hola. In Italy, ciao. In Egypt, ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, akwaba. In Nigeria, peleo. In South Africa, sawubona. In Senegal, nangadef. In Kenya, jambo. In Israel, shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
Hallelujah. Greetings, Global Transformers. This is Evangel Mama D. Love, and you're listening to Wisdom with Mama D from 12 noon to 2 p.m. And we are trying to clear off some glitches. And if we do, I can put this phone down, and then I can... you can see me, and I can't, well, I can't see you, but you can see me, and that's good. Anyway, this is Wisdom with Mama D, Women in Support of Daughters on Motherhood Preparation. And we've got a very exciting topic for you today, because everybody is talking about gun control, and everybody is kind of talking about government out of control. If you've been watching any of those hearings, it's been about government out of control, and I think more of a civil war than a racial war, because we're killing up too many of our own to be concerned about somebody else killing us up. But anyway, today our program, our first guest coming up at 12:30 is Miss P. Ray. Now, she has her own program on WVON every Sunday, and you will be very excited to meet her. She is a Chicago, raised on the west side of Chicago, and has done some really fantastic things. So she'll be holding down the fort beginning at 12:30. You know what? From 12 to 12:30, that is my monologue time. I get to talk, and then when the guests come on, I can just ask questions, and they can talk. Sounds like a deal? Okay. So getting back to our topic, Annie, get your gun. I know you've heard that before, that Annie, get your gun thing. I think it was a play, a program, but anyway, it was called Annie, get your gun. So if Annie, get your gun, the government's got your children. And that is a very scary kind of thing when the government has your children. I believe in Nazi Germany, one of the weapons of mass destruction that they used were the children. They had the children turning in their parents. You know, they didn't have to have these secret agents and spy systems or anything else. They had those little ones that are in the classroom on the same page. And I think adults misunderstand the power of children when they are of one mind. It is a powerful, powerful thing. Now, you're saying, well, you know, it starts in the home. Yeah, it does start in the home, but it's not left in the home. Not when children have to walk down the street or go into a store. Even if you decided, I'm never going to bring a television or an internet into my home. Even if you decided that, your children are one day going to walk down the street, and in the department stores and in the grocery stores and in the other stores, they're going to see somebody with a computer on. If wherever they go, they are going to be exposed. And when they go to school, they are going to be exposed to computers and the outside world coming in, whether you like it or not. So, okay. It used to be that everything was in the home because your children were under your control. And back in the days of Jim Crow genocide, the children were really under your control because they worked, the sharecroppers worked in the field, and the children worked in the fields along with the parents. So, again, parents had this control. You didn't have to worry about grocery stores on every corner or somebody coming in. Visiting was kind of limited. You didn't have grocery stores on every corner and all these other kind of things that we take for granted today. They didn't have those things 60 years ago in a great portion of America before 1955, when the people started leaving the state of Mississippi and Georgia and all of those places, because they had trains and they had newspapers like The Defender telling them what was happening in the North. So people began to move. Of course, they couldn't let the sharecropper owner know that they were going to move, because that would have been difficulties involved with that. If you know anything about Great Uncle Mose and Emmett Till in 1955 and what happened there, it was slavery by another name under that Jim Crow sharecropper system. So getting back to Annie, get your gun, the government's got your children. When those Germans, they got the minds of the children, those children don't want to court. Now, you can sit home and say, well, It begins in the home, but as I said, your children have to go out into a larger world in order to function as healthy human beings. They can't just stay in your home and be there forever and a day. They must go out into the larger world. Now, I discovered by accident the power of children being on one accord. One day I asked my daughter to duck. I guess she was around 9, 2 years old. I said, I'd like to do that. And she said, Mama, I can't. I looked at her, what? You can't? No, we don't have any prayers. Oh. Millions of little girls that grew up to be women have nasty houses today because they don't have any prayers. Now, for you all that don't know, pledge was some stuff that was in a can, and you spread it, the pledge on the cloth, and once you take the stuff out of the can and you spread it on the cloth, now you can duck. So I said, now my daughter has been given a 3-period lesson on how to duck. My mother didn't give me any period lessons on how to dust. She just gave me a rag and said, dust, and I just took the rag and I dust. No problem. But millions of little girls were being taught step by step how to dust. Advertisers said they needed something in a can called pledge. Otherwise, they could not dust. It wasn't just going out to my daughter. It was going out to millions of little children all over America thinking that they cannot duck if they don't have something in a can called pledge. Now, today, it is even more so because today you have TikTok, you have Zoom, you have all kinds of things to put the children on one accord. And for instance, when they asked the 14-year-old hijacker why he was hijacking cars, and then they asked the 16-year-old female the same thing. And she said, I've been watching, my brother has been watching Grand Theft Auto, and I've been watching it, and it looked like fun. And so I went out and I jacked the car, and it was fun. And they said, okay, are you going to do it again? Yeah.
What?
Yeah, because it's fun. Now, they asked the 16-year-old girl, why are you out hijacking cars? And she said, I needed a ride. Oh, I needed a ride. And so, and they don't expect girls to be hijacking cars. So I really get away with it because, you know, and I needed a ride. I mean, that says, okay, our children are being led astray. They are not being trained up in the way that they should go. They're just growing up, being trained up by the internet, TikTok, and all these other things that millions of them, now billions, are put on the same page. A couple of weeks ago, they were talking about this little boy, and they said he was about 6 years old. You know, he had his little front teeth. You can tell the nose. Two front teeth come in. I didn't think mine would ever, ever, ever come in. And all I wanted to do was put my two front teeth. But anyway, he had his little two front teeth, so he's about 6 years old. And he said, I just like killing. I want to be a killer when I grow up.
What?
You know, and I don't want to be a fire parrot. I want to be a killer. I just love killing. My brother was watching the programs and they was killing, and I want to be a killer when I grow up. I just love killing. I want to be a killer. Now, here you are. He wasn't born saying that. But when the government has got your children, they are showing them things on the internet. They are showing them things in real life. They are saying now, years ago, decades ago, Cicely, she's a homegrown mortician in the city of Chicago, three-generational business. He was once the warden of Cook County Jail, and he said that he was commissioned a study to talk about the future needs of prison. And he said he discovered that if you're not reading at grade level, by the third grade, you were headed to jail, and that the crime would be more serious and the offenders would be younger. They would be like the 14-year-old to say, if I got fun, and I'm going to do it again. And so I think just last week we had an 11 or 12-year-old hijacker. These are serious crimes, and this is what his study revealed. It was right on the money. I think it was a 9-year-old and a 10-year-old. They were sitting there on this police bench, and their little legs were too short to touch the floor, but they were there for rape. These two 9-year-old and 10-year-old had a little 8-year-old girl, and now they were arrested for rape. But it gets back to all these millions of little minds being taught how to steal cars, being taught how to rape, being taught how to murder, and we, the adults, have eyes and see not, and we have ears and hear not, and we're trying to talk about, well, when I was growing up, hey, it's in your face. It's hidden in plain view. The government is stealing your children. Governor J.B. in Illinois, who has presidential hope not, but here he is. He changed the law that said you had to have parental consent for your daughter, 19 years old, to have major surgery, such as an abortion. They changed the law and removed the parental consent. But the perpetrator, the oldest, the youngest child that I remember in the city of Chicago that had a full-term vaginal birth, she was 10 years old, and they said, the younger the girl, the older the perpetrator. This man who impregnated her was 50 years old. Okay. So they can go to the abortion clinic with the 10-year-old, but the parents can't even be notified. But if she needs her ears pierced or she has an earache, no doctor will touch her without parental consent. And what happens to mandate? How is it that doctors who perform abortions are not mandated reported when a 12-year-old or a 10-year-old, and with all the growth hormones being given to our children? I remember a program decades ago on the Oprah Winfrey Show where they had to stop the puberty development of a 6-year-old. Here she was, full-blown, breast and the whole work, and they had to delay her menstrual cycle because they did not want this 6-year-old child being able, she's got a menstrual cycle, she can actually give birth. So you know, all of these things, when you've got government control showing your children and making rules for them and mandating that you teach sex education to your children at the age of 5, but there are no mandates to teach them how to know their ABCs, know mandates, to teach them how to read in kindergarten. But here it is, a mandate to teach sex education, and they don't hardly know the difference between a vagina and a penis in the first place. But your government rules have come in and said, oh, no, parents can't know about your child having this major surgery, could be in the next room bleeding to death. She can't know that. It's not the parents' business, you know? And I ain't saying this. Well, that's another subject, so we won't get off into abortion. That's another show that we already have. But the thing is, Annie, get your gun. When I was 7 years old, I was taught how to shoot a Winchester rifle because my father didn't take any stuff from anybody, and he was always with these brushes of being lynched. Always on the verge of being lynched. He said his brother was a full-blown Cherokee Indian, and my father made bets shooting bumblebees in flight. And he shot, and he always was packing. And my little arm at 7 years old was hardly long enough to pull the thing underneath the Winchester rifle. You had to pull it down, and then you had to let it go up. But when they came after Daddy, they was coming after every single person in the household, from the seven-year-old going up. You take Daddy, you take all of us. So, yes, maybe you need to get your gun to see what we're doing. If we're saying, oh, turn in your gun. Hey, look, that's like opening your door and saying, y'all come. You have a lock on your door. Sometimes you have a burglar gate and a lock on your door. You know why? Because you want to protect your home from intruders. Well, the government is an intruder now. And he's telling you, black people, you all get rid of your gun. I haven't seen any white people with a gun by that. When they have a mass shooting, they go out and get more guns. They don't go and turn in their guns. You're leaving yourself defenseless. And when somebody just decides to walk in on your house and just come in and sit down and have a seat, what are you going to do about it? Guns are a method of protection, and you know that there are some bad people in this world. They ain't bank sick, crazy people don't got know what they're doing. You know what crazy is. I know what crazy is. We cross the street and we see crazy because crazy is talking to themselves and looking all around. But no, this is evil. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but spiritual wickedness. This is wickedness. You sit down and you get a plan. You go over the internet and you tell about your plan. This is the shooter of 17 in the on the Valentine's Day massacre. He had gone on the internet a couple of days before and said, well, you know, you all going to read about me in the newspapers because I have a goal to kill 20 people. Actually, he killed 17 and wounded 17. So on court TV all week long, they have, because he pleaded guilty to it, and they're up there testifying, and you know what he's doing? He got his ear because he doesn't want to hear it. But you know what he did? After he massacred the children, he went in, sat down, ordered him some food in a restaurant, got a ride. You know, nothing has happened. This is wickedness. Let's face it, if there's good in the world, then there's evil in the world. So we're going to have, when we come back at 12:30 break, we'll have Miss T. Ray. She'll tell you a little bit about her and how she feels about these governmental laws that are just removing the moral authority of parents, especially in DCFS custody. There's a law, it's called the John Lewis Right to Family Act, in which they give priority to anybody that's a homosexual in and your child is in foster care. So they have priority because they have a right to family, but it's not a God-given right because he's not to having two men or two women have being peaceful and multiply. That's not gay action. That's truth-telling. Yes, I believe in a Bible book that says, honor your mother and father. Well, guess what? Same sex can never be honored as mothers and fathers. Yes, I said it. They can never be honored as mothers and fathers because to be same sex, you got to be two mamas or two daddies. And do we know about rectum? Yeah. Everybody that's got a mouth for food going in, it's got a rectum for waste going out. Because at the end of the day, I don't care what you put up your rectum, it's yours. You shouldn't care what I put up my rectum, it's yours. But at the end of the day, you're going to use it for its natural purpose. And guess what that is? Waste going out. As I said, that's not big fashion, that's truth telling. And it is the truth that's going to emancipate us, not going along to get along with all these abomination laws and spiritual crime deals that's leaving us, our children, spiritually bankrupt because they've got parents that are spiritually bankrupt. And the sins of the parents are being visited on these children. That's why we have the female solution, and that's why we have Wisdom with Mama D. So we can come back and you can call in 1-515-605-9325 and push 1 and you can share your own wisdom that you are experiencing in these days of hatred being a weapon of mass destruction. That's why you got a lot of people in the show. So that's why our first break.
Well, all right.
Back to the opening of our visionary. Now you know what to do.
Well, all right. You heard from Mama D, and this is Wisdom with Mama D. And we've got a comment from one of our Facebook viewers, and let me share that comment. And Zelda from our Monday Morning Mindfulness host says, Grand Rising, beautiful mothers. This is such an appropriate subject. Thanks for sharing your wisdom. We must stop allowing this system to take our children. We have the power. We must utilize it now. That was from Zelda. You can hear every Monday morning from Monday Morning Mindfulness. Yes. Yeah, so when we come back, we'll talk more about that, and we'll be looking for our first guest. And if you're watching us on Facebook Live, feel free to write in your comments. We'll share them with our listening and viewing audience. And if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325, and press 1. That lights your number up on our switchboard and lets us know you have something to say. You're listening to and watching the Female Solution Global Radio TV show, and this is Wisdom with Mama D. And our topic today, Annie, get your gun. The government's got your children. We need to get them back. So we will be right back after this quick break, and we want you to stick and stay. Don't stray away. And make sure you like and share this. If you're watching on Facebook, let your friends know that we're on live right now on www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution and on Facebook Live and YouTube at The Female Solution. So listen in, call in, and watch us and listen and learn. We'll be right back. So stay with us.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating
Call in and comment, 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
All right. Well, let us...
Do you worry about finances, family, health, job, relationships? Are you in pain? Do you feel stuck? If you answered yes to any of these questions, help is available. Don't worry, you're not alone. It's part of the human process. You only feel this way because you haven't mastered the voices in your head. No hype, just down-to-earth, solid, workable tools and techniques that you can practice daily. It's really food for the soul. Whether you want to learn how not to worry about anything, reverse type 2 diabetes, publish a book, promote your product or service, or just make extra money. To take advantage of the deal of the day, go to ZeldaSpeaks.com or call 312-409-6619. Mention promo code TheFemaleSolution and get free shipping. That's ZeldaSpeaks.com or 312-409-6619. Stop worrying today. Visit ZeldaSpeaks.com.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
Crime in Chicago continues to increase. Communities and politicians must come together to make a change. No one person can solve these problems by themselves, but I believe together we can make progress. Let's provide job training, economic growth, and invest into our 77 community. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for mayor.
You believe in freedom, cannot rest until it comes. We will believe in freedom.
Okay. We are back, and for you who's joining us for the first time, we say welcome. And for you who have joined us every fourth Saturday, we say thank you. We're up with our first guest, Miss P. Ray, and maybe you might be able to see her. I don't know, but the camera on this end is not working, and that's why you can't see me. But anyway, P. Ray, are you there?
She hasn't called in yet. Is she going to join us on the StreamYard link?
Yes. 312-4. With 04.
Okay. She hasn't called in yet. Is there a way you can text me her number? I can see if I can reach her.
I don't have it handy, but she had said that she would be on the program. Well, this is the kind of program that other people can weigh in, because you've had this experience. You know, first, when we started Wisdom with Mama D way back, we didn't have guests. The audience were our guests. So she knows her time slot, 12:30 to 1 p.m., and if she's not here, we're not going to let one person just slow us up and slow us down. And I had this little piece of paper with her name on it and her address, that she, a phone number that she would be calling in from, and I misplaced it. So
well, we've got a call on the board, so we can open up the phone lines, and also we've got another comment from our Facebook viewers, and Zelda says, thanks, Mama D, for being the leader in this effort to save our children. We salute you, great mother. Yes, all right. So those words of praise came from our dear sister Zelda Speaks, and she speaks every Monday morning mindfulness here on the Female Solution. So let me open up the phone lines, and of course, if you are a parent, if you are a mother, if you're a father, how do you feel about what's happening? And a couple of things for those who may not have read it, if you haven't seen this statement on our blog talk page, the United States government has a John Lewis right to family law. I think Joe Biden passed it by executive order. It gives homosexuals priority when it comes to placement of children in DCFS, Department of Children and Family Services, or foster care, the first step to adoption. Now, we've got a lot of families that would like to adopt, and I'm saying this because I know of families who were turned down, and they would have liked to have been foster parents or parents. And I'm not saying that, you know, a single parent or even a same-sex couple can't be a wonderful family. But when you have families that are turned down for reasons of, well, we don't think you have enough money or whatever the thing is, you know, I'm wondering why are they not considered when really all you need is love. And if you've got a family and you've got a loving environment,
including grandparents. Grandparents
absolutely
have not been able to get custody and become foster parents of their own grandchildren. Depending on the size of your home, you might have raised 10 children with two sets of bunk beds in one room. But DCFS will come in and says, oh, no, you've got to have
this much space
and this much space for each child, because it's not based on love. But now you're saying we're going to make it a law. Again, government having your children. Your children are in foster care. Most of them are in there for poverty-related reasons and not having what they are calling the appropriate amount of space per child, but you're going to give your children to homosexuals when God has decided they cannot be fruitful and multiply. They cannot be honored as mothers and fathers because they are same sex. So you're going to make a law, a governmental law, to give your children to a group that cannot have them. All people come from the union of a male and a female, whatever they are calling themselves. And if God put them in the wrong body, what does that have to do with government? None of us got to choose our gender. And for you to take our children that came from a union of a male and a female and put them in a union that is not of their origin. Government has got your children, and that's why, Annie, you need your gun.
Well, we've got to open up the phone lines and go to 773-977. You know, one of the things I see that you noted is that 10 children in Chicago have died in DCFS custody this year, more than 1 month, and in last year over 100 died. So, you know, my concern is, if you're not letting families who want children have them because you don't think their house is big enough or whatever the case may be, well, what kind of environment are they living in where they're dying? That's certainly worse. So anyway, let's hear from 773-977. Introduce yourself to our listening and viewing audience and give us your thoughts. 773-977. Check your mute on your phone. Make sure it's
good afternoon. Good afternoon to all. This is Lois here in Chicago. I forgot to unmute the phone. However, thank God for everyone today. And sure enough, what Biden has done is really nothing in comparison to our constitutional rights. We all were born and who have birthed children in the world have a constitutional right to be with one another. And that right has been violated by a lot of families, especially here in Chicago. If a person should become ill or what have you, they will work together to keep them away from one another as the person dies or what have you. But our constitutional rights are not being enforced. They do not have a right to keep a father from a son or a son from a daughter, what have you. If God gave you that child, you have a constitutional right to be with that child, and that child has a right to be with you. Nobody can change that. I'm enjoying this conversation, Mama D, because it's really what our people need, especially our young people who are trying their best to raise children these days. I feel so sorry for those, especially 3 to 5 years old, and my great-grandchildren, as a matter of fact. Look what they're going to go through. If bread is already $4.50 a loaf, and they're not even 10 years old, and you know, minimum wage is still, what, $15? Almost a third of a loaf of bread, and how are they going to make it? We don't know. And if we don't do something, I don't know what to do but pray. But we need some action. We need to take a list of those children and those parents who are concerned and who are willing to put their name down and say, listen, let's work together and get this thing done. If they're hurting our children, let's stop them from hurting our children. And let's all join in together and be on one accord. And do it. Thank you, Mama D, and go on. Thank you so much.
Well, I thank you. I thank you for your comment. And let me just say this about you said constitutional rights. There is no constitutional right to abortion. And I know a lot of people have problems with that. But the reason there is no constitutional right to abortion is because life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness is endowed by your creator. And this is one of the inalienable rights, life. The government does not claim that it gives life, but it does claim life in certain capital murder kind of cases, because thou shalt not kill. Like this 17-year-old that boasted about how he was going to kill and his getaway plan. And this is premeditated. And so, but getting back to the government, there is a representative, Representative Underwood. She was so irate over the treatment of the children at the border. Now, these children had individual rooms, and they had colorful environments, but yet over 100 children, when she was doing this irateness, she was so irate until they struck her remarks from the congressional record. And this was during the couple of years ago when they found the 2-year-old in the sofa.
Yes.
People were there living. And they had gone in and said, we've got over 100 children have died under DCFS custody. And when the parents, I believe, killed the little white boy, then they sort of took interest in that case. But this is what is happening to our children. They are being housed in office space. They don't have homes and places to put them, so they are putting them in offices. You know, a bed and a place for them to sleep in an office. And the man that's the director of the DCFS, he has been found in contempt of court 12 separate times. Can you believe that? 12 different times. And yet he still has his job with children being found dead in sofas and children being housed in office spaces. And this isn't just happening now. This has been happening for years because the people, when they take your children, see, DCFS takes the children by force, and then they put them in these in more unmoral, unhealthy conditions. Now, you're going to sign a law? What gave you the authority to sign a law that you must give children priority to homosexual couples when they cannot, because they have a right? Who's giving them this right to a family? They can't get one on their own. You see, when it's two men, you got to borrow an egg from somewhere. And when it's two women, you got to borrow some sperm from somewhere. And when you mix the sperm with the egg and put it back into a female's body for it to grow, you know what you say? You have a child on the way. Conception begins in the test tube when it comes to two men or two women borrowing an egg from the opposite sex. Begins
so,
in
Mama
the test
D,
tube.
So Mama D, what I'm hoping that in a future show we'll be able to invite Congresswoman Lauren Underwood on to talk about her legislation, and one of the things that we see that is creating a lot of concern, you have couples that are same-sex couples that are saying we're being discriminated against from wanting to adopt the children that are not being adopted. They're sitting there in foster care, and, you know, we're willing to provide a permanent family, so give us the opportunity. So, you know, we want to have those families who are willing to step up and take children out of foster care and give them permanent homes, or at least if they're in DCFS custody, to give them places where they can live in a home and not in, you know, some group home or some place where they're not being nurtured. Now, this is what her legislation addresses, because a lot of children are, as you pointed out, being abused in the foster care system. So she said,
Congressman, was her bill. That was her
bill.
Yes,
so now her bill, Congressman Lauren Underwood, bipartisan legislation to strengthen child abuse protection, passed the House of Representatives. Her legislation, which passed as part of the Stronger Child Abuse Prevention and Treatment Act, would help protect children adopted after being in homes with substance abuse issues by requiring research examining the association between parental substance abuse and its impacts on adoption outcomes. Stronger CAPTA, which stands for Child Abuse Prevention Treatment Act, responds to increased rates of child abuse and neglect as the opioid epidemic devastates families and communities across the country. The passage comes 10 days after Underwood spoke on the House floor about the need to improve the foster care system and pledged to strengthen the policies that failed 5-year-old Andrew A.J. Freud from Crystal Lake, who was tragically killed in April. So,
see, again
look
that
at,
is the little white boy. But, again, that is the little white boy that I was telling you about. I'm saying this. If you have an inalienable right, you have an inalienable right, and it does not come from government. It says it comes from your creator. So if government doesn't have the right to legislate life, because it says right there in the Constitution, we owe these truths to be self-evident, and it says that they are endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights. These are rights given to you by the creator. And it says among them are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. This is an inalienable right. And so you're going to take an inalienable right away from children who have been forcibly taken from their parents. DCFS takes them by force and puts them in foster care. So you have taken them from their families, and you have given them to someone who is not capable of having children of their own, And they said, well, we have a right to family. If you have a right to family, then you got a test tube. But you're going to say life begins in that test tube when it's a living soul, when it's two homosexuals. But you're going to say that, oh, life doesn't begin with a living soul when you have the egg meeting the sperm in the natural way. So what I'm saying is the inalienable rights of these children who were born in a union of a male and a female like everybody else walking around, no matter what they want to call themselves, transgenders or non-binary, it doesn't matter. There's a spiritual right that says honor your mother and your denied an inalienable right with an executive order saying that these people over here have a right to family. You, those people that birthed those children had a right to family too. And if they had been given the right kind of counseling and help, maybe their children would not have ended up in DCFS custody in the first place. We
I got a question.
We deal all the time with symptoms, but we don't deal with the causes. If we had been repaired as a people and not bullwhipped, beat for centuries, maybe we would have a different outlook when it comes to spanking and all of this other kind of stuff that for generations, not generations, centuries, it was what kept us in shape. And those bulls were beaten for 246 years, did not slaves to be violent. It taught them to be so docile that not only would they not raise their hands to a slave owner, they wouldn't even raise their eyes to a slave owner. And so this is what I'm saying. Help people instead of taking their children, because what happens, even if children are in a dysfunctional home, they know that they got a mother and a father and some sisters and brothers, and you take them away from that, you are committing child abuse within your very act. And then you put them in with another group that's passed off, two men, two women, passed off as if that's a normal relationship. And people might want to say, well it is normal, but it really isn't.
I have a question, because one of the things that Lauren Underwood's legislation addressed, the fact that when children are taken out of homes, especially when there has been drug abuse, they've been traumatized, because you know when a person is on drugs, they're not in their right mind, and they do things that are harmful, everything from physical abuse, sexual abuse, neglect, abandonment, all of these things, because a person is not in their right mind, as you know. So, yes, I agree, you need to help families and strive to keep families intact, but you got several factors. One, a lot of times when people have a substance abuse problem, they will not admit they have a problem, and they will not seek help. And so how do you help someone if they don't recognize that they need help? And then number two, you have memories that children have of having been abused in that family, which even though there might be times of love and nurturing, there's that other time because they got that person with the drug or alcohol problem that's going through the Jekyll and Hyde thing. Yeah, when they're Mr. Jekyll and they're Dr. Jekyll, they're nice and kind and loving. When they're Mr. Hyde, they'll abuse you, and a child can't cope with not knowing when they're going to be abused by a parent who's sane sometimes and insane other times. So that's very distressing. So then taking them out of that environment is so they can get some kind of emotional stability and go through some type of emotional healing. Now the question is it better to be in a dysfunctional two-parent family where one is male and one is female, or is it better for them to be in a family where the parents, even if they are same-sex, are not abusing them. That's where a lot of the differing opinions come from.
If that was the case, but that is to assume if you're homosexual, you're functional, and you've got all kind of issues in the first place, but you're saying they are providing this good household. You're not in that household. And that isn't good for that child who has been raised up with a mother and a father and knows some difference. But you're going to come in with your governmental, this is why Anne needs to get a gun, because the government is taking your children and putting them in environments that they are determined as legit, but they are not. They came from a mother and father. Now, if they came from homosexuals and you had a law to put them with homosexuals, that would be one thing. But here, these children were born to a union of a mother and a father by a creator under inalienable rights. And here you come with your governmental law and say, oh, no, we're going to give this group priority. We're not just going to allow them to, we're going to make sure that they have priority and they cannot be parents like these children who came from a male and a female union. Now, what does that, what kind of abuse is that for the child to be taken away from a male and a female, an inalienable right, and be put with homosexuals as if they are the perfect couple, they're the perfect people? You don't know what those children are going to be exposed to. And then this is the first step toward adoption. You have governmentally interfered with an inalienable right because you abuse your authority. You overrule what you have said in your government. As Lois brought up earlier, inalienable rights, they are endowed by their creator. It was the creator who caused them to come from the union of a male and a female. So if you want to call yourself something different and use body parts for something different, look, your eyes, whether they work or not, they are located in the front of your head, and they, whether they work or not, they're located there. You're not going to say, well, I want to hear out of my ear. It doesn't matter. It is what it is, and you cannot un-is it. Everybody has a rectum, and it has a certain function. Everybody has eyes, ears, nose, mouth, and it has a certain function. And when you violate that natural function, whether it's frying your liver with alcohol or killing your lungs with cigarette smoke, you are violating body parts, and the government has overreached in this case. We're up past our break, and we'll be back at 1 o'clock.
All right. And if you are listening online and joined this conversation, and we're looking for the second guest at 1 o'clock, Mama D?
Well, you haven't heard from that guest. It's 312-313-4044.
And for those
we
who are listening in, we definitely want your comments because this is a hot one. And we want to hear from those. If you have been in any of those situations, if you've been in foster care, if you've had a foster child, we want to hear from you. If you have been in a relationship with a same-sex person and you've taken care of a child, we want to hear from you. We want to hear from those who have a perspective. And
absolutely,
for those children who may have been in foster care and been abused, we want to hear from you. Give us a call, 515-605-9325. Press 1 when you're ready to speak, and we'll come right to you and get your thoughts. And Mama D says, Annie, get your gun. The government got your children. We'll be right back after this quick break. So stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back after this quick break, so stay with us.
Hi, I'm Barbara. I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three black moms.
And in case you didn't notice the resemblance, we're also three sisters.
We're going to be coming to you every week, sharing our successes and our mistakes as we navigate our lives as moms, wives, sisters, daughters, and of course, black women in today's world.
We'll talk about it all. Race, politics, religion, economics, culture, and we'll take a look at everything from whether or not to use corporal punishment to how do you teach your children about sex.
Look for our upcoming book, Growing Up Charles. It's a personal story about our lives growing up in Maple Park on Chicago's South Side. I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three black moms. Follow us on Facebook and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Three Black Moms.
Hey, it's time to take charge of your health. I'm Viata, your holistic life coach, and every Friday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, I'm here on The Female Solution to empower you to make choices that will assist your evolution to abundant health. I'm also blogging every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time at Soul Purpose Healing, where I bring you a spiritual chiropractic adjustment to bring you back into alignment with our Creator's love, compassion, and wisdom. Join me every Friday morning at 8 a.m. and Sunday evening at 8 p.m. for a time of unity, enlightenment, and love vibration. Shalom.
Hi, this is John Alexander.
And I'm Naima Latif. Meet people like you who are making a positive difference in the world.
Big difference.
Watch us every day on The Media Connection at www.youtube.com/TheMediaConnectionTV.
YouTube it. We'll see you soon.
There are people who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their stories to motivate you to do the same. Join us each week, host John Alexander and Naima Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists whose works are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference, too. Be inspired. Watch The Media Connection.
Mondays at 5 p.m. and Tuesdays at 12 noon on cable TV, Channel 19 in Chicago. And other cities, check your local cable listings.
Our kids are the future and should not be left behind. One person should not decide what is the best for our 77 communities. Politicians must work together for our kids' best interests. They deserve a safe education with resources that meet every student need. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for mayor.
Real money and freedom can I rest? Do you believe in freedom? Can I rest until it comes? Do you believe in freedom?
Well, hallelujah, greetings. Global Transformers, you're listening to Wisdom with Mama D, and we're back. We didn't have any scheduled guests for this time slot, so if our guest for 1:30 to 2 p.m., Mr. Wallace Red, 919, is on the line, please plug him in at this time. If not...
He's not, but if you'd like to see if Lois has another comment, Lois, I'm opening your mic if you have another comment regarding this topic. You know, and I've seen a lot of arguments because you have many children in foster care and families that have been very much dysfunctional that children should not return to until those families can be made well, or the person in the family, and maybe not just one parent, might be both parents, you know, because that tends to happen. So if you have a child that's in an unsafe environment and they're taken out of that environment, it's better that they be in a home. The question is, what should be the circumstances that make it a good home? And some say, well, as long as there's love, and some say it doesn't matter about, you know, if it's a single parent or a same-sex parent home, it long as it's a safe home where the child's not being abused. So what are your thoughts on that?
Before you plug in, Lois, I'd just like to say this. Many people might remember Tina Olson. They also might remember the Nichols family. But let's go with Tina Olson. Now, she had, at that time, they were, government interference was saying, you to have a tested positive for drug use, but you might let the child's father see the baby. Therefore, because the father has drugs in his system, we're taking your child, even though you don't have drugs in your system. Now, I don't know how sane that was, but this is what happens when government gets your children. So she had two children. She had a three-year-old, and she had a seven-year-old. And the Burks, Ed Burks, who's been under indictment for over 4 years, and it'll be another 4 years before they get around to try him so he can run for another term. But his wife is now the chief judge of the Illinois Supreme Court. At this time, she was on the Supreme Court, but now she is the chief judge of the Supreme Court. They love the little child that they were housing and had in their homes, Baby Keith. That's who he was called. They loved him. So at the end of the day, they ruled that she could have custody of her seven-year-old. She's unfit, but she can have custody of her seven-year-old. But she cannot have custody of her three-year-old. Now, why is that? Because the Burks wanted him. And you see the evilness when government has got your children. They just going to hold him hostage and say, well, you can have the other one, which you're unfit.
And that was a very controversial case, and a lot of people were upset about that. And a lot of people felt like they used their power, you know, to keep the child.
This is what I'm saying. If this woman is unfit, then she's unfit for the seven-year-old, like she's unfit for the three-year-old, because both of them are children that came from her body. But the law is ruling, no, you can have that seven-year-old because we don't want it. We only want the three-year-old. This is the one that we are. So if it was about what was good for the child, it was good for the three-year-old to be with his natural brother, the seven-year-old, because not only was he being taken away from his mother, but he was being taken away from his siblings. But it was okay to do that because the birth could give them a good home, and she can have the seven-year-old. We're not taking both of them now. Look at how generous we are being. We're letting you keep one child with your unfit self, but you're just going to take out the one we want. And this is what I'm talking about. It wasn't about the needs of the child. It was about the needs of the burps and their political power that they could just do what they wanted to do. He is a grown man. What about the relationship with his mother? What about the relationship with his brother that you can't?
You know, if anybody has followed up on that and, you know, talked to him since
he's grown now, I would definitely
love to find that out, because I think that also begs the question of what constitutes a good home. Is it a dollar figure that you expect the parents to have? Is it a certain status economically or career-wise that they should have in order to make a so-called good home? Because money doesn't raise a child. Love raises a child.
And like now, Mama, there's
a lot of people who are raised in families where maybe, you know, several children step in the same room and in the same bed, but they grew up emotionally stable. So it's not always a dollar figure that can determine if parents can...
You have taken him away from his biological sibling. You have, with your governmental power, you have done this. You have said these people are white and they are rich and they are politically connected. They can give him a better home. But it's about the needs of this child. He needs to be in his racial group. He needs to be with his siblings. He needs to be with a mother who has said, I've straightened my life up enough to be fit for my 7-year-old. Please let me have my 3-year-old as well. So it's a bunch of poppycock to say this is about the needs of the child. Same with the same-sex couples. You've decided that because they should have not only a right to family, but you are going to put them in a morally violating body parts position because of your government might. And that is why you have to get your gun. It's like with the Nichols. This was a young couple. They had 5 children. They had, I think, 2 of them were twins. The government came in and took the children from school. They never saw their parents again. They were taken from school. This young couple.
They were traumatized after that. Yes, yes.
And to this day, Jerry Nichols is still traumatized over it. His children are grown. Some of them have died. His mother has died. But I remember this is what happened to them because I went to some of their court hearings. Okay. You know, young couples, they get in a spat and they call the police and they thinking that they're doing something really good and the police is in and out. When they got into court, here they're going over these telephone records. When you call the police here and you call them here and you call them here, you know, it didn't mean they didn't love the children. But this is the kind of things that they did that was used against them in court. And not having those children just wrecked Jerry Nichols' very life. He was never the same again. He couldn't overcome his children. And one of his, I heard from them recently, the last couple of years, one of the children died. These children are in their 30s, but he still, they were my children and couldn't get over that trauma that it put them through. You got 5 brothers and sisters. You are being traumatized. They have shown you all the time. I'm going looking for my parents. I was separated from, I was 3 years old, and my sister was 5 years old, and we got separated, and I'm looking for my family. You're looking all your life, and they had to change the laws to say, actually, you do have a right after a certain age to your birth records. You have a right to know where you came from, but many, many decades, and you couldn't have. have that right to know who the parents were. So the government has just been wrong with kidnapping our children, and this law to give them another race, to another sexual persuasion that's different from the persuasion of mothers and fathers that he came from, what kind of trauma psychologically and morally are you putting these children under because you have the authority to sign an executive order and say we are going to give these couples a right to family and we're going to use John Lewis's name to do it because everybody knows if it has John Lewis's name on, it's got to be glorious.
Well, so, I got a question I'd like to pose, and I know our listening and viewing audience probably has wide-ranging opinions on this. But one of the things that that Congresswoman Underwood said, she said, the rates of child abuse have been rising as the opioid epidemic has devastated communities across the country, and the children who are adopted after being removed from homes with substance abuse issues have special kinds of trauma. My bipartisan legislation looks out for those kids. It would allow us to track their outcomes and assure we have the information we need to make informed policy decisions to best serve them and set them up for success. That's what she said about her legislation. Now, the thing about it, you have children who may be in the homes where, mother and father are there, and, that's the household, but somebody in the family is so dysfunctional, or both are so dysfunctional that the child has been through extreme emotional trauma. So now, if you take them out of that household, and I want our listeners and viewers to weigh in on this, if you take them out of that household with parents who are the same racial group and male and female in terms of parents and put them in a household where there is calm and peace and no beatings, no fightings, no calling the police on each other, no fear of death going on with parents picking up weapons and beating each other and stabbing each other. None of that drama and trauma happening, but the couple is same sex and of another race. So what do you think would be most safe for the child to be placed in, to the home where there's a lot of emotional trauma going on because of substance abuse that has not been treated and behavior that's erratic and dangerous, or somebody who looks different and maybe their intimate life is different than what society has been accustomed to and approved of because they're of the same sex, but their behavior is not abusive toward the child. And this is what lawmakers are looking at. So when Lauren Underwood's legislation talks about following up to see how are these children faring in various household situations, is this a household that is a different racial group and perhaps a same-sex couple, a better environment than the dysfunctional environment that they left where there is a male and female parent,
abuse. Exactly. This is the same setup that when this little boy was hung by his mother, I can't remember her name right now, but her family was begging DCFS not to put her son back into the household with this mother. She had been under mental treatment since the age of 10. And these were her family members, and they knew her and begged DCFS not to put him back in her custody, and they did. And she eventually killed him. Now, but before he died, he was put in the home with a white foster parent. I believe that, the one that Mel Reynolds took this foster care family to Washington, D.C. They didn't take her biological family, who had begged DCFS not to put her child back in the custody of their sister, who they knew very well. They didn't do that. But they took this white woman, and it got so popular that one of the comedians, Roseanne, I think it was, made a joke about it. You got you one, because it was just fashionable. And like you have dogs on leashes today, it was fashionable for white people to have all of these little black children in foster care. It was just a fad of the day. And they were being allowed to take custody of these black children themselves as if it was their civic duty. At the same time, they would not allow a black couple, nice homes. We got some Beyoncés and JVs and these are billionaire people. Surely they could provide a decent household as far as financial stuff is concerned. But
yeah, but are they willing? Yeah, like, are they trying to? So that's the thing. You can have people who have the financial means, but they may not have the heart to take in a child who's been abused. Because like the child who's been abused, they got problems. They're not coming in being a nice, you know, well-behaved child. They're traumatized, so their behavior is going to be erratic, unpredictable, sometimes hostile. So what constitutes a good home for a child who's been through trauma?
And that happened. And the white couple, that happened. And the white couple was trying to give these children back. And the government wouldn't take them. The family no longer wanted them. You see, this man don't live by bread alone, but these children are traumatized because of the way you have snatched them out of their home. I remember Dr. Maya. Do you know her children ended up in foster care because she wouldn't let them watch TV?
Right.
Here she is. You understand? She wasn't exposing them to what they thought the American idea was. So I'm telling you, they were just interfering and overreaching, and they were concerned about those traumatized children. Then they should have known that part of that trauma came because they were snatched out of their home from the only home and only family that they had ever known, dysfunctional or not. There was never anything more dysfunctional than 246 years of not even being a human being person. And that kind of bullwhip beaten dysfunction. But here we are. I'm saying government is overreaching, and they are taking away our most precious, most vulnerable gift that we could ever have. Blessed you are blessed to have a babe in your belly. That is a blessing from the Creator that created you. I could have the nursery all set up and the toys and everything else, but nothing is happening. But I don't have the ideal situation. My child, I'm raped in the alley, but this is my child, and I'm loving this child like Johnny Belinda. That she had this child of rape, and she didn't even know what it was. She was deaf, she was dumb. The doctor taught her how to do sign language that she could, after she was a grown person. But this man who raped her decided he was coming back to get this child. He had recently married, and he wanted the child. She knew that he hurt her. And she thought that he would hurt her baby, this child of rape, and she blew him apart. Finally, the wife confessed because they was all, no, this, she's deaf, she's dumb, and we cannot allow her to have this child. And she's killed somebody on the top of it. He hurt her, and he was going to hurt her baby. And so this is what I'm saying. That was a woman without any arms, any legs, And this woman was
in Gent Magazine. She was raising a child.
That?
Yeah, I remember that.
First of all, you say, what man would take advantage of a woman with no arms or no legs, but because she had a menstrual cycle, you impregnated her. You probably sexually used her like you wanted to.
But yeah, I don't know. I don't know the backdrop. I didn't get the impression that it was a child of rape. I mean, you know, sometimes people can have loving relationships even though they have some physical challenges. I don't know what the backstory was, how she had the child, but I just know I was seeing how she used her mouth to get to feed the child the bottle because she didn't have arms or legs.
And to change the diaper. So this is what I'm saying. But what kind of abuse was it when she had no arms and no legs and no way of really fighting off this person?
Like I said, I don't know if it was rape. Might have been a husband who loved her. I don't remember that the rape being a part of that story. So I can't say that this was a violent impregnation. It didn't appeared that was her story. I'd had to look it up because it was many years
ago.
But I don't want to assume that she did not have a loving relationship.
If she was married, then the father could have taken care of the baby, and there wouldn't have been any issue. What I'm saying is that wasn't even part of her story. It was government overreach. You're changing your baby's diaper with your tongue that's in your mouth. You can type, 70 words a minute with the tongue in your mouth because this is the only thing that you had, and you were using what you had to have this God, this blessing that Yah-God had given you, and here comes the government. We got to take it. Anyway, we're up against our last break, and, Lord, we're going to get back to you. We have not forgotten you. See what can happen when we don't have guests. We can still keep it moving.
Absolutely. Well, of course, if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325, and press 1 to let us know you have something to say, and we will open your mic. We're taking a look at children in foster care and the government's decision as to who is a fit parent and who is not, and we definitely want your input if you've been in foster care, or if you've taken care of a foster child, or if you've been perhaps a parent who has lost a child to foster care. And if you have been raised by parents who are of a different racial designation, if you've been raised by parents who were same-sex or have been in a same-sex parent home as a child, or if you have had the experience of being in a negative foster care environment, but it was better than the abusive home you left, or if you've been in a better foster care system and you would have preferred that to your birth parents. Whatever your circumstances, we want to hear your thoughts, because we're looking today at the decisions that the government makes as to who is worthy of taking care of our children. And Congresswoman Lauren Underwood has recently got some legislation that has passed the House and is looking to be supported in the Senate that is following up on these foster care placements, especially of children who have been deeply traumatized. What is the best household environment for them as they deal with the memory of their trauma? So we will be right back after this break. We want you to stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us.
Hi, this is John Alexander.
And I'm Naeem Latif. Meet people like you who are making a positive difference in the world. Watch us every day on The Media Connection at www.youtube.com/TheMediaConnectionTV.
YouTube it. We'll see you soon.
There are people who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their stories and motivate you to do the same. Join us each week, host John Alexander and Naeem Latif, as we bring you the educators entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists work toward transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference, too. Be inspired. Watch The Media Connection.
Every day, thousands of our residents leave Chicago to shop in Indiana. Jobs are being lost and businesses are relocating. Let's find a way to lower our taxes to encourage residents to continue living and shopping in our city. Let's rebuild. Let's restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of the city of Chicago, and I will work hard to find solutions that matter. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for mayor.
We'll believe in freedom, cannot rest. We'll believe in freedom, cannot rest until it comes. We'll believe in freedom.
Okay, we are back for our last segment of Wisdom with Mama D. If you have not pushed one to get in on this conversation, it should be burning your ears by now. And your opinion is important, because when they take these children into foster care, it would be different if Ms. Underwood or Congresswoman Underwood had come to the aid of the 100 children that had died in DCFS, but being politically astute, she connected it with the opioids and the flavor of the month. You know, if you're on opioids, it is a sickness, but if you're on crack, you're just an addict. So we know how if you're alcoholic, if you're white, and if you're black, you're drunk. We know about these words that when they describe the behavior that you want to put down, and they describe the behavior that you want to put up. So now that it's opioids, it's not a crime. It's a disease. It's an illness. Why? Because the majority of the people are using it are not NAAs, Indigenous Native American African. And we know the difference. Look at what happened with the killing. Just to digress a minute on that. When it came to 9 people slaughtered in a church, what did they get? They got a song, Amazing Grace, and they got an I Forgive You. When Dylann Roof said, I haven't felt not any sympathy for those 9 innocent people that I killed. Now, but when it comes to
we've got a couple of calls. We're looking for yes, and looking for 909. Well, Lois, we were gonna get a thought from you, and then we got another caller that pressed
it's 111,
and see if we see. So, Lois, did you have another comment?
Yes. Yes, I'd like to make a quick comment here. You know, the children have been made afraid when they're placed in the foster homes, when they're taken from their parents. They're already traumatized from being taken apart. Then they're placed into a foster home 9 times out of 10, whereas they're going to be sexually molested and mistreated. And they're fearful when the workers attend the homes. They don't take the children off to the side and talk to them. They talk to them in front of the foster parents or whomever, and the children are never protected. They're scared. They don't have their own phones. And I do know one lady who was in a foster home from 12 years old. She was raped, and her parents placed her in a foster home where the director of the foster home molested her until she ran away from the place at 16 years old. And she's still traumatized about that to this day, you know. And her parents, and she really holds it against her parents, who were Jehovah's Witnesses and all, but still. Also, you know, there was a killing. A mother allegedly killed her, a daughter killed the mother about 8 days ago here on 78th and Coles. And they said that she cut her head off and placed it on the railroad track, on the IC train track. And so nobody is telling anybody about what's going on. And then last night they killed a 14-year-old boy, shot him 4 times right down the street. So many things are happening with our children. Our children need help. We need a private number that they can call, not the police. Now, I don't mean the police. We need to form something where they can call this number, and all of them who are in foster homes should, I believe, have a cell phone where they can call it all kinds. Thanks for this time. Love you all.
Well, thank you, Lois. If you question someone in the presence of abuser, no, they're not going to say what happened. That's a major point to look at, you know, if they don't.
Is 919 is our guest
yes.
on the line.
Looking for 919. I may need to.
Mr. Wallace Brad.
Well, while I open the mic of this next caller, I'm going to see if I can reach Wallace Red, who has not called in yet.
Oh, well,
unless
he's not
this
yet. Let's just go straight on to the callers. But first of all, I wanted to finish up what I was saying. When 9 people were slaughtered in the church, they got a song, Amazing Grace, and they got an I Forgive You before that person even asked for forgiveness, and there can be no forgiveness of sin without the confession of fault. He never did confess a fault to this day. And when it came to 4 Asian women being killed, there hasn't been any follow-up story on that. This man said he killed them because he got tired of being their sex slave. And yet, what did they get? They got a visit from the vice president because her mother is Asian, and a $50 million check. They got mandated teach Asian history in school, and they got a law passed, hate crimes against Asians. 4 of them was killed, as I said, 9 slaughtered in the church. When it comes to the 7 people that was killed in Highland Park, what did you get? You get the president declaring it a national disaster. You're getting all kinds of money for each one of the victims that was impacted by that shooting. But this is what they do all the time. And we act like we got eyes and see not and ears and hear not when it comes to this double standard. And this is the same thing that happens to our children. When they are in foster care, they said, I don't have the statistics before me, but they said 1 out of 4, I think, of them are in jail with the police within 3 months of being released out of or aging out of foster care. They said that over half of them have never finished high school. So being raised, like I believe it was the mass murderer that killed Sharon Tates and all the others. He said, look
about,
at me.
Charles Manson, you mean?
Yes. You know what he said? He said, look at me. I was raised by the state, and they had him in foster care all of his life. So if there was some guarantees that oh, well, if you go into foster care, you're going to be with this beautiful family, but they don't come and tell you, I'm a foster parent because I want the money, or I'm the foster parent because I know I'll have absolute power over these children to do what I want to do, and they dare not open their mouths or things will be made worse. The same thing happens when you keep the children in the abusive family and say, well, this is a problem with the family. This is a part in the marriage. So you send that child who's being incest right on back for the daddy or the mother to keep it going. And so this is what I'm saying. When the state takes your children by force, they don't have any intentions of ever giving them back. They've got them in their system, just like when they have this disproportionate arrest. They're not letting those men out. We think, oh, Mandela, 23 years. Every week we hear somebody being released that served 25 years, served 30 years. Wrongfully convicted, but oh boy, Nelson Mandela did 23 years. We hear that every week. Do we not? That they were wrongfully convicted 25 years, 30 years behind bars. Where's the sympathy for these people?
Y'all, afternoon.
Well, we've got a caller on the line, and I'm going to try to reach Wallace Red while we talk to 111111. Introduce yourself to our listening and viewing audience and give us your comments regarding children in foster care and government control.
Hallelujah, greetings, sisters of the world. I mostly always just listen. I had to hit one this time to weigh in, but just because the program always has value. We have somebody like Mama D, who I've been listening to maybe over 40 years, doing stuff that one of the treasures, just because. Do you know she led the call to prayer at the Million Women March? I was there. She was at the Million Man March in a pyramid house. Who does that? But did they do a story on that? Maybe, maybe not. But I'm just saying, she's a jewel within herself and can carry at least a six-hour program to the subject at hand. First of all, I believe society and tradition is failing us again. Back in the day, they were talking about Planned Parenthood was in the hood directing abortion, and somehow they all are running population control. Y'all should have seen the number of sisters I was running to after they done showed up from an abortion, how they was just totally blown away. They couldn't even talk. They was like, I killed my baby. I can't believe I did it. But they push you into it. And then I got a friend. She was 14. Had come, was pregnant, and come from foster care originally. Her parents, her foster parents were excellent with her. However, it never changes the need for that child to be with their natural mama and their natural family. And that's just what happened to her. She gets pregnant at 14. She goes, they go to the abortion clinic, get rid of that baby. Ain't nobody taking care of it. She went down there then and said she thought about that thing. No, I'm not killing my baby. And she ran up out of it for her life. That woman is in her 50s, almost 60 years old. And her story is, I did not kill my baby. Because these people be trying to tell you to do this stuff for convenience. But that's not what the Most High would have us to do. So going back to what I was saying, I guess that's why today that you got people like Congressman Underwood considering same sex as an answer. Whoever decided the two people that are the same sex are good parent role models. I got friends in every sort of situation you need to know. But I got gay friends as males and gay friends as females and some married. They're about an emotional mess. How in the hell they going to have some children? Type of situation going on in their own home. But yet, all of a sudden, just like Planned Parenthood with the government led by some folks that look black like Underwood, I guess the ones that look black like Obama, that was supposed to be a Christian that says same sex is legitimate. What is that, y'all? They don't make babies when they get together. Why are they promoting men being gay, especially black men? Why are they promoting that, y'all? They seen, and they was promoting it all my life, do you know? For the sake of truth, they offered me a lot of money to be gay. Yeah, you can be in on the gay parties and all that. I think that was with the government job. $40,000 a year guaranteed, and you could go around the world, plus they pay for all your expenses and lose your soul. I don't think that's a good choice. I didn't choose it. So why should we be choosing? Yes, ma'am. Personal experience. Brother with a degree. Brother has got experience. I don't work for Apple. I don't work for all these big companies because I know how to blend in. But the point is, why you got people like Underwood saying same sex would be excellent parents? Yeah, but she's suggesting that. Why not help the people where they are? Don't you know because your mama and your daddy ain't right, you got uncles and aunts and nephews and nieces you need to be connected to? My friend that I was talking about earlier. No, I want to tell this truth because it is. My friend I talked about earlier, she was a foster care. Her mama and her daddy was a dope dealer or something like that. Her mama was on drugs when she went to live with her mama with the baby. Her mama's boyfriend going to try to hit on her at 4 in the morning, and she had to leave the suburbs on with her baby. This is stuff women go through, y'all. Y'all know. Y'all done heard y'all sister's story behind men that's like that, and women that's just messed up, can't stop them. Why should a woman have got a baby? Why she lying about her mama's boyfriend hitting on her? I'd like to just apologize to the women for men just being so unrespectful and thinking that they could just go and do whatever the hell they want without your permission. The last time I saw, women got the inward part and men got outer. I think y'all supposed to tell us, give us permission to go in. Otherwise, we just should be nice to y'all and treat y'all like that. How about that?
Well, I appreciate your comment, and it sounds like you're a fan.
Thank you so much for your recognition of the wonderful work of Mama D. You know, one thing I wanted to say about that, first of all, Lauren Underwood in her legislation, she didn't mention same-sex households. But she did mention that
different bills. I think it's two different bills.
There is other legislation.
So I was talking about John Lewis' right to family, and that was signed. It not her bill. Her bill wasn't the executive order. This is two different bills. But my criticism of her is how she protected the children of the border when you got, and she didn't mention the little two-year-old NAA child, Indigenous Native American African child that was in the sofa with people living in the household. She didn't mention her. She mentioned the little white boy that got all the news came out that over 100 children had died under DCFS custody, but if it hadn't been for the one little white boy killed by his parents, no one would have known that or even bothered to care about it. And she hasn't said anything or done anything about this director of the DCFS being found in contempt of court 12 separate times. And another child has turned up dead under DCFS custody. This is the problem. People put
okay,
their
so Mama D, for those who are not aware, let me just briefly let them know what John Lewis bill does. Because it says some states bar lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender and queer LGBTQ individuals or same-sex couples from serving as adoptive or foster parents, and many public child welfare agencies still discriminate against qualified licensed LGBTQ foster and adoptive parents. So with H.R. 3488 and Senate Bill 1848, It says that the problem is, according to the Adoptive and Foster Care Analysis and Reporting System 2020 data, more than 117,000 youth living in foster systems in 2020 were eligible for adoption. However, many taxpayer-funded child welfare agencies still discriminate against qualified, licensed, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and queer, LGBTQ+, foster and adoptive families, refusing to place youth with these families or forcing them to go through a more extensive, time-consuming, and costly process before allowing placement. By denying LGBTQ families the ability to foster and adopt children, these agencies are denying children the right to safe, happy, and healthy permanent homes. LGBTQ plus youth residing in care settings outside the home face additional barriers to achieving long-term placement because many foster and adoption agencies remain hesitant to place these youth with families, and many fail to ensure their safety in those environments if they do. Currently, federal funds go to supporting permanent adoption, and there are safety precautions in place to ensure that neither families nor youth are discriminated against because of race. There are no such safeguards against discrimination based on sexual orientation, gender identity, or marital status. What is the John Lewis Every Child Deserves a Family Act? The John Lewis Every Child Deserves a Family Act, ECDFA, would prohibit any child welfare agency receiving federal financial assistance from discriminating against any potential foster or adoptive family on the basis of religion, sex, sexual orientation, gender identity, or marital status. In addition, ECDFA would prevent discrimination against any foster youth because of their sexual orientation or gender identity. The bill would prevent these taxpayer-funded child welfare agencies from engaging in such discrimination by allowing the Secretary of Health and Human Services, HHS, to withhold federal funding if evidence indicates that such discrimination is occurring. To make it easier for agencies to comply, the bill would mandate that HHS provide technical assistance to all covered agencies by outlining the various legal and practical changes the agencies will need to undertake. The bill would allow an aggrieved individual to assert a violation of these prohibitions in a judicial proceeding. In other words, you know, if family is denied, they can...
That's interesting. Now, when it came to black people adopting white children in the foster care system, that bill would fit that premise also. But there was no bill that says, if you're going to let white people foster care, why can't black people foster care white children? So it's always, we'll make it look good, just like with Tina Olson, you are an unfit mother when it comes to your three-year-old child, but you are a fit mother when it comes to your seven-year-old child. So we would allow you to have the seven-year-old, but not the three-year-old. They are both your children, and they are siblings to each other. But you see, it's always, we'll make it about discrimination, and it's not. And depending on the portion of that bill that you read, it gives homosexuals priority when it comes to placing children. That's the bottom line, because it's claiming they are discriminated against. Well, maybe you should be discriminated against, because these children have an inalienable right to life, liberty, and to pursue happiness. But we are, again, because, Annie, get your gun, the government's got your children. Same thing when it comes to the language. You can no longer say breastfeeding. Milk comes from a breast. You must say chest feeding.
Silly.
You can no longer, because
some things you have to ignore. You know, Mama D, some things we just have to ignore because they're silly. They're just silly. You know,
write it up in a law.
Ignore. Because they don't
write it up in a law. And if you don't use that language, you are discriminating against. This is why I'm glad Ketanji Brown Jackson got in, because she's a Negro black, and I love that, not an immigrant black. But when she was asked What is a woman? A woman is a female adult human being. But she shouldn't say that, because the whole definition of what a woman is being changed by law. So we can say, well, let's ignore this if it wasn't so serious. We can no longer say boy and girl. But if you got a dog, you will say, come here, boy. Come here, girl. You will give gender to a dog, but you cannot say boy and girl. So, I mean, it's the governmental laws that says, okay, these women, they are biologically made differently from women, and yet they're in the wrong body. Well, I guess if God put you in the wrong body, then take that up with God. Government shouldn't have anything to do with that. Work that out with God, because we didn't get to choose either. It is what it is, and you cannot un-is it and have healthy human beings. And that is what's happening out here. And we're acting like it's okay. All people, I don't care what you call yourself, gay, lesbian, straight, what is it, non-binary, queer, whatever, you came from the union of a male and female, either in a test tube or on your back the regular way. You came from the union of a male and a female. Why are we being bullied by government that we can't even step up and say, I am a male or I am a female, because that's discriminating against the ones that was put in the wrong body?
Well, Mama D, we've got to go. I think you've asked quite a question. You know, only human beings are having problems with their sexual identity. No other identity issue.
We've come to the end of our show today.
Yeah, well, thank you.
It's a question that we're going to have to answer, because we're creating more confusion by our confusion.
You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page.
Repeat that. More confusion by our confusion.
We're creating more confusion by our confusion.
By our confusion. Put that on a T-shirt. I want one. Thank you for listening to Wisdom with Mama D.
We'll see you next Saturday.
TV shows.
And here on the Female Solution for more wisdom with Mama D.
Be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, Sheshe. India, Zanyaba. Japan, Arigato. Korea, Kamsamnida. Russia, Spasiba. Germany, Danke. Poland, Dziękuję. France, merci. Spain, gracias. Italy, grazie. Egypt, shukran. Ghana, merci. Nigeria, eshe. South Africa, ngiyabonga. Senegal, jeret. Kenya, asante. Israel, toda. Pakistan, shukriya. Afghanistan, tashakur. Saudi Arabia, shukran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you. And may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.